All right, we are here, we are Galexis, and welcome. And as usual, we have established a wonderful vortex, a vortex of energy surrounding you, whether you are with us in person or listening on audio file. You can tap into this vortex of energy for your benefit. You are at the center, so therefore the vortex is very quiet, seemingly quiet there. It's like the eye of the hurricane. As you go further and further from the center, however, it spins faster and faster. It spins in whatever direction is best for you. And what you can use it for are two things that we recommend. And that is, if there's anything you want to get rid of in your life, whether it is a malady, an emotional habit, or limiting pattern, or limiting belief, or a situation in your life that is disturbing, give yourself the permission to let it go, and just imagining it hitting this vortex and being spun out into the universe, where it'll be transformed back into light. As everything, dark or light, is essentially light. So it'll go back to source. The second use is, of course, to be able to inform your reality of what it is that you desire. So you can put your wishes, your dreams, your visions, your desires, you can broadcast them. In other words, lift them up and out of you and send them out, and it'll be broadcast. And the difference is your intention. Your intention is that you wish this to be, and therefore you can send it out to your whole reality. And your reality will respond to it. Your reality is your friend, and it will get the message. You'll broadcast it to your world. So you can use it either way you wish, according to what intention you have. And with that, we'll begin our discussion. Today we're talking about past lives and future lives. Now, most people who get into metaphysics and New Age spirituality have been exposed to the theories and the concepts and the metaphysical programs of Asia, of the East. Most specifically those coming from India. The concept of other lifetimes has been around for many thousands of years. It has been an essential foundational concept that underlies many of the mystic paths. And of course, the West knows mostly what comes from Hinduism, filtered through Eastern thought and adapted to Western ideas. One of the great proponents of other lifetimes experiences was the well-known sleeping prophet Edgar Cayce. And people would have readings with him back in the 20s, 1920s and 30s, and he would tell them their other lifetimes. He would tell them, particularly fascinated by their lifetimes in Atlantis. In fact, Edgar Cayce was very focused on Atlantis, as he himself had had lifetimes in Atlantis. And so he put forth an idea about lifetimes that got picked up and adapted to the linear logical orientation of the West. An idea of lifetimes happening in sequence. All right, you have a lifetime in 1200 AD. You die, you have a lifetime in 1300 AD. You die, you have a lifetime in 1600 AD. You die, you have a lifetime in, and so on and so on, that they would occur sequentially according to chronological time. And that in between lifetimes, you would be on the other side learning and educating yourself and be attending one of the great astral schools of training for souls. And then when it was appropriate, you would come back into your physical body, into a new body, and experience that. Of course, this was a concept of time that was prior to the whole explosion of quantum physics and the concept of parallel realities and the understanding about the illusion that time actually is. So we want to point out that your orientation to other lifetimes, if indeed you've heard anything at all about it, has generally been based pretty much on this whole Edgar Cayce linear adaptation of the concept. There was also, in the East, part of why he adapted it that way, this idea that you go through various lifetimes, starting as mineral, and you spend eons as various kinds of rock, crystals, and then you become plant. From plant lifetimes of various sorts, you become an animal, moving through the lower levels of consciousness in animals, working your way up to the more empowered animals, the more powerful animals, eventually making the leap to human lifetimes, starting out in human lifetimes that seem to be aimless and just oriented to survival, gradually working your way through learning and growing as in a human form, until at some point you enter your spiritual path. You step upon your spiritual path, and then your lifetimes take a whole radically different orientation, that of bringing to you your spiritual teachers, your spiritual adventures, all those kinds of things that you need, your education and so forth, until at some point you are enlightened enough, or you have been accepted by a perfect master of reality, a God being, a Christed one, a Christ, who will save you, in a sense, from having to continue to go lifetime after lifetime, who will lift you, take you up into the inner planes, and there you will continue your spiritual progress, continue your meditations through the astral plane, then above it to the causal plane, then the mental or supercausal plane, finally into the fifth plane of pure soul and spirit, pure spirituality, where there is no matter left, where there is no illusion left, where there is no ego. All that is left is love. And from there, to progress without ever having to return to physical lifetimes, being completely free of the material world, there to continue going up more and more planes, expanding through more and more dimensions, aiming to become one with God, Goddess, all that is. Now, there isn't anything inherently incorrect with that, but the way it has been interpreted leaves a tremendous amount to be desired. Because first, if you think about lifetimes in a linear progression, then you will not even be aware that you have lifetimes based chronologically in the future on your planet. That you've already been to the future, as you perceive it from this place now. and that you can get a connection to an understanding of the future through that part of you that may have already experienced it. Now, psychology, spiritually oriented psychology, has picked up on the whole idea of past life therapy, where you go into past lives to resolve issues that your current life seems to have based on what you have done in other lives in the past. It is based essentially on the whole concept of time that you have, that your past determines your present, and that you are building and creating your future by your imagination and dreams now. It builds on that to say, okay, just as if you're going to do some therapy, you may have to go back to deal with issues between you and your parents or siblings in your birth family and deal with traumas there, emotional, dysfunctional energies, where you picked up bad emotional habits, where you were wounded and therefore armored yourself, where you shut down your power, your spirit, your light. You can go back in by hypnotherapy or through guided visualizations into the past of this very life and go rework it. And you can go and heal it, what happened in the past, to find an impact of difference happening right now in your present. Few people think about going into your future and making changes there. But that works just as well. What if you went into your future and you found yourself living a life that was an extrapolation of painful experiences and an old personal story of great limitation and struggle in the future, and you could change the future to have impact now? What a concept, eh? You have to understand, there is no past or future, really. It is all a point of view. It is what you believe it to be. So you can use the future, you can use the past in this lifetime to play with, to break down limitations, to break down barriers. And you can do the same thing with lifetime. Now, some people say there is no such thing as other lifetimes. There are no past lives. This is all a bunch of, you know, imaginative hooey. And we'd like to suggest one thing, is that there's no way you can really prove other lifetimes. A few people have had extraordinary memories of other lifetimes. And there's a woman in England who recently had such strong impressions from a lifetime that she had had in the 1930s that she went and she got names, she got places. She went and visited this little town and she recognized the house she had grown up in. She went and looked at court records and she studied everything that was known about her living before. And she could verify it. She knew this information before she found it on the records. She knew the names of her parents. She knew what they were like. She knew all sorts of things. Now, this is unusual. Most people don't go that far or don't have a quote-unquote past life that's so recent that it's actually in records in the same country, not far from where you live, that you could actually go and do this type of research. What that does, though, is validate that there are ways of connecting with other times and spaces through your consciousness that you can call another lifetime if you wish. And you can call it just somehow an incredible tuning in to this other person. Now, many people who profess certain religions don't want to acknowledge other lifetimes. It's too complicated. They want everything nice and simple. And it seems to be kind of dark and strange and scary. So they stray away from it. But have you really had other lifetimes? Essentially, the nature of time is that it is. There's only one time, and that is now. This is the only time there is. Future and past are all part of dimensions beyond time-space. Time and space, fourth dimension. You're living here in 3D, three dimensions. Time-space is you're living within and you're boundaried and limited by. But beyond time-space, there is imagination. Beyond time-space, there is magic. There's creativity. So if you want to expand your awareness, why not go beyond time-space and tap into resources that you have there? Part of the mythology is that there was a time where you broke from, in a sense, quote-unquote, separated. There really is no separation, but you created the illusion of separation so that you could create the material plane, so that you could come into physical form to experience the adventure of that. You had to take a piece of the divine because the divine cannot fit into a body. There's no way. Only a little tiny spark of who you are can focus in such a small arena as one physical body, one physical lifetime. So you have what is a soul. That is your individual piece. From the soul, you broke into other pieces. And one of these pieces is called your higher self. The higher self is, in a sense, the focus of what it is that you, the individual you, wishes to experience in this material plane. So the higher self organizes a whole bunch of range of experiences for you so that you can glean knowledge and wisdom and experience and really understand physical plane reality from many, many, many different points of view. These different experiences are what you call lifetimes. Some of these lifetimes are actually, and we would say perhaps all of them, are within your imagination, which is fifth dimension. It was created by your higher self for your pleasure and enjoyment and adventure. Created. That is sixth dimension. It was created using information and energy from the divine, knowledge of who you are, and with a synchronicity and a pulling together of magic, seventh dimension, created this whole material plane with all the options that you wanted to explore. Now, some people have found that in order to come into physical plane, they have been trained or briefed, you might say, about lifetimes so that they could function in physical plane reality. So instead of having actual physical plane experiences, they were given kind of a virtual tour of lifetimes. How can you tell the difference between that and what you've, quote-unquote, actually experienced? You cannot. And we don't think it's really important to try to figure that out. Science likes to try and measure everything and quantify everything. And in so doing, they lose the magic of it. They lose the opportunity of the flexibility of the creativity of it, and they lose a lot of the imagination of it. So when you look at lifetimes, other lifetimes, whether it's real or not to your imagination, to your ideas, real being in the sense having actually been physical, or maybe it's been a little virtual movie that you watched somewhere so that you could get the experience. Like people go to a movie to work through kind of emotional energies. A lot of people will go to a nice romantic movie to move through romantic feelings. People will go to a scary movie to move through fear. And other people will go to an action movie, macho action movie, to get out their rage and anger vicariously. Why not a lifetime? Why not? And you probably have many, many, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands. So it doesn't really matter how real lifetimes are. But what matters is that you can utilize and tap into your other lifetime experiences, both past and future, for your own benefit, spiritually speaking, for your own sense of adventure. If you have a limitation, why not go into the past or the future and clear it? A past lifetime or a future lifetime, and clear it. It can make a huge difference in your unconscious mind. It can do something that works on a physical level beyond your conscious imaginings. For example, a person who has a lot of trouble with restriction of the throat may find a past life in which they were hung by the neck. It may have been under the circumstances that they were very spiritual or they were psychic or something like that, and the ruling orders thought they were witches or some kind of really bad sorcerer, and they had to be put to death. And so there may also be this kind of feeling of being really shy, really hesitant to admit that you're aware of more than just physical plane reality, or that you're even interested in knowing more about yourself and expanding your capacity creatively, imaginatively, with magic. Some people are very, very shy about their gifts. Well, a woman who we knew who had this throat issue and who had been hung because she was supposedly a witch, because she was psychic and she did healing with herbs and energy work at a time when that was considered the devil's work, had both of these issues. She was afraid to speak up. She was terrified of being attacked in public, terrified of being visible and being seen. So she was tiptoeing in the shadows, always having problems with her throat. Going into that lifetime where she was hung, she was able to shift her whole perspective, to heal that perspective. And what happened for her in the present tense was that she became more confident in being able to let her real, more authentic self shine through. She also noticed that she didn't have that throat issue any longer. You can do the same thing in the future. What if you have a chronic ailment the prognosis of which is that as you go year by year, it's going to get worse. Every one of you has a collective aging program that says your old age is not going to be as good as your youth. It's not going to be as good as your middle years. Because there's this progression of degeneration into becoming more fragile, more brittle, weak, stiff, in pain, diminished senses. What if you could go to that diminished self in the future and heal that? To find that your pathway of healing and health has taken a much more positive turn. And then here's something that most people don't even think of. In your past lives, or past virtual plays, you may have had some wonderful gifts. In order for you to be able to know as much as you know now, to move along your path, your spiritual path, your path of joy, a path of wisdom, now, maybe you had to have a past life of being a priest or priestess in Atlantis. Someone who knew how to work with light, color, energy, nature, with technology, then, for healing and consciousness purposes. Who was brilliant, creative, imaginative, who could harness the forces of nature. What if you had another lifetime like that? What if you had another lifetime in the past where you were totally happy? Most of the time, when you go into past life therapy, it implies, okay, we are going to look for the source of a problem that's beyond and greater than a source found in this particular lifetime. We're going to go to another lifetime and deal with it on a more collective level, on a more unconscious level. What if you go to a past life therapist and say, you know, I'm not as happy as I'd like to be. Let's go visit a lifetime in which I was happy and fulfilled and had a great time, a great adventurous life. They would look at you like, why are you wasting your time and money doing that? But why not? Why not find a lifetime that was wonderful, where you didn't have to suffer abuse, where you were not destroyed in a horrible accident, where you were not abandoned, where you were not wretched, where you were not miserable, where you were not evil and did all sorts of bad things to other people, or you were the great victim? Why not find some place where you had a really pleasant and happy life? And tap into that and bring that forward for you. And why not a future life? Yes, on this planet. A future life where people have discovered how to reverse pollution. People are eating healthily and happily. People have emotional healing and healthiness. There's peace on the planet. People are acknowledging being part of one family of humanity. You know you've dreamed about this. The fact is that if you are using the channel of resources to other lifetimes, you have had a future life in which you've lived really well in a beautiful, pristine environment. In the future, here, on the planet, where you have gifts and powers, where you can teleport, where you can love more freely, where you can have greater adventures, where you can be in an exquisitely beautiful connection, supportive and loving connection with beings of nature, with animals and with plants. And quiet and wonderful, beautiful place to live. Why not tap into that lifetime? The fact is that you remember other lifetimes. They are part of your, what you might say, library of images you hold within you. Part of your resources that you have inside you. And the reason that you dream of a world of peace with a clean environment, people respecting and honoring, loving and working with nature, people loving each other, people caring about each other and working together in harmony. The reason you've got that is because it's in your memory banks. Whether it was a virtual life or, quote-unquote, a real, authentic, physically experienced one, doesn't matter. Why not connect with that? Why not gift yourself the energies of that, the resonance, the aura of that, to bring that here? You see, if you do that, and you are dreaming of that other lifetime where you're tapping into a lifetime in a beautiful, peaceful world, and you bring that to you, are you not helping the world as well as yourself? You're changing the world. But as long as you believe in this linear progression, using our example of age, that you're just going to get more decrepit and sick and in pain as you get older, what kind of vision is congruent with that as far as the planet is concerned? The planet is degenerating. The environment is getting more and more decrepit. More and more species are disappearing. People are more violent. It's not going to be turned around in time. Technology is going to destroy the planet. You see the difference in the energy? You see the difference in the vibration? So the opportunity is yours to tap into the resources and gifts that you have for other lifetimes, to bring them here and now. To bring the gift of you, the one who had psychic ability, who was extraordinarily creative and happy, to the present. Why not bring the self of the future, the you that is celebrating a beautiful nature, a beautiful reality, in harmony on the planet? Why not bring that world into? And what will happen if you bring both of these together to now, to this now moment, the moment of power, the moment that is all there is? You bring two dreams, two levels of resource together in the present, and it's your choice to bring this here and now. Integrated into who you are right now, you are in your linear mind thinking between two positive points. Will you not line up to those two positive points if you bring them together? There are so many people out there dedicated to making you fear what's going to happen on the future. Oh, devastating economic debacle worldwide, tremendous destruction, floods, tremendous destruction of the nature of the environment, toxicity making everyone sicker and sicker and sicker, massive die-off of epidemics, hosts and hosts of people leaving the planet. There will be a lot of people leaving the planet, but not because it's so horrible, but because their work is done. It is more fun on the other dimensions. It is more lighthearted. It is filled with more love and light and creativity and juice and joy when you go beyond time-space and get to play in those higher dimensions. But while you're here, why not make a difference for yourself now? Those people who are promulgating doom and gloom, they look at a past, a world that is violent, dangerous, treacherous. They have a lifetime here, this current life, where in their childhood they learned they were never ever safe. So it reinforces that. So they project it's going to be even more unsafe in the future. So let's share that with everyone else. Let's spread this around like a virus. Let's spread dark visions. Because fear is exciting. Fear grips people. People will come together, will bond together. They'll circle the wagons against a fear, a common fear. So let's use fear as a way to make people come together. No, why not make joy and love as a way for people to come together? You can counteract all of that by taking your gifts, accepting your gifts that you have of your past and your future life. So what would you like? What is your optimal future that you would like to have for yourself and for the planet? How about a longevity that is as if your body is immortal, that it does not decay, but rather stays strong and actually can get stronger? Can you feel how that conflicts with the consensus belief? But realize you've already lived it. You already have that life in the future, demonstrating to you somewhere in your data banks that it is possible to live this in this world that way. Can you, for a little while, drop the whole consensus collective orientation towards entropy, dissolution, and destruction, and allow yourself to fly on the wings of imagination, fifth dimension, and creativity, sixth dimension, into the realms of magic and information, energy. It has different matrix, different frequencies, based on this other optimal future. Doesn't it sound like fun if you can do that? Can you give yourself permission to let go of that linearity for just a little while? If you can, you can line yourself up with a positive lifetime in the past, a positive lifetime in the future, bringing you a whole bunch of joy right now. You can do it within this lifetime. You can go back to happy memories of your childhood and go back to the vision and dream of what you would like to experience and step into it, connecting with the future you, and allow yourself to be in that bead of connection between joy and happiness of your past and joy and happiness of your future, to bring that joy and happiness now. We've actually done that in other work. We did that in our, when we discussed the future, power of the future. So in a little while, we'll do a meditation and we'll take you to other lifetimes. One past, one future. Both beautiful. Both wonderful. Fantastic lifetimes. They're not any more made up than the horrible ones. They're not any less real than the tragic ones. Can you give yourself a little break and make a jump? So we'll do that in just a little while and let yourself just kind of get oriented to the possibility of that. And so for now, we'd like to take questions, if anyone has questions. If you do, raise your hand and Daniel will see that you get the mic. Anyone have a question?
Hi, Glexus.
Hello.
This is, I've been to obviously a lot of these workshops, and this has been a very meditative one for me. And it looks like there's maybe a future lifetime and a past lifetime that are bubbling up, and I can't really get a grasp on them. Are they popping up for healing, or are they for alteration, or maybe you just give me a little idea of what's taking place right now.
Well, what's happening is that you're looking at possibilities. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that there is no determined possibility here. Mm-hmm. So you're feeling the chaos. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of you that really likes certainty. So you need to let that go and recognize that really all you really want is to tune into those feelings that you've had in your life, where you, those moments where you've been exhilarated and happy. And let that be your thread. Let that be your thread of connection. Because what will be most appropriate for you, you'll attract, no problem, you'll attract healing. You'll attract joy, you'll attract whatever it is. But if you try to nail it down now, before the meditation, you might be limiting yourself.
I see. So the future that's out there that was bubbling up, that was just energy, or was it some sort of certain thing that was up? And maybe we can ask the same question about that past life that seem to be bubbling up. Obviously, that was already done.
Well, see, now that's just what we were talking about. Is it certain? Was it real, quote unquote? Was it a video game you played?
Oh, okay, so.
You don't know.
Gotcha.
The point is that the frequency of it is what is going to give you the tie-in. It's the frequency of it. It is the experience that you had there and the experience that you feel in the future that is uplifting, that is glorious, that is, you know, wonderful and magical. Because you can feel them bubbling up. And what it means is that you're bubbling up a whole bunch of positive energy for yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, there's not going to be too much problem for you to link those two, since they're already bubbling up. Congratulations. But don't try to define them. Okay?
Okay.
Because as soon as you start figuring out, is this real or what was this, and I need to know the detail about it, now you're trying to control it. And that's not going to work as well. It's going to limit your creativity. Allow it to come in the meditation, okay?
Okay.
Let it burst into color and feel more vivid and more real then.
I understand. I do know that I am working very diligently towards my sitcom, my TV show. And so do you have any suggestions for that, for creating that in a better way?
Well, what you want to do in the creation of that, there are two things that are really important to make that successful. One is that you've got to have a very high degree of flexibility and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so it may, if you focus in it with a whole bunch of opening and freedom and allowing, you might find it go into places you don't expect it to go. And follow it. Use it as an adventure for yourself, for your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The second thing is that you want to connect it and somehow or another to the collective, to the consensus. Because it's not going to be a go until you find your support team in the consensus, in your physical reality, who see how it can entertain and please and uplift and lots and lots of people who have an idea of how it plugs into the consensus, into the collective. So you've got to have that connection into the collective. Now, the collective, you know, most people think a bit differently than you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so if you want to have a sitcom to those people, you're going to have to go and touch those aspects. But that you and they have in common, which is in the depth of them. You know, the very best sitcoms are the ones that really play on human nature, on the depth of human experience.
As this one does.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, as you talk about it or present the material of it, you still seem to need some more creative time because there seems to be some kind of boundary you need to break down and go into a greater heightened level of creativity, which you're aiming towards. But then when you start to put it into writing and into a format and so on to present, what you want to imagine is how it will connect to the human nature and to find, you know, people who are producers and capable of putting this show into effect, who have that knowledge of the beautiful ironies of human nature and how it works. So you just want to have that plug in. So that's going to be part of your dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not like you haven't already been doing those two things.
Correct.
But what we're saying here is that just being aware of those, letting yourself open to more and more, and letting go of a need to have a certain order and a certain control about it. You've got to open to magic, more magic.
Okay.
So you're going in the right direction, but at some point you've got to make a leap into more magic.
Okay.
All right?
I can do that.
All right. We know you can. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else?
Hi, Galexis.
Oh, hello.
I know that I've had lifetimes in the past where I've been hung and my throat's been slit and things like that because a lot of my health issues are centered on my fifth chakra.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know how I can get over those so that everything in that area can function correctly for the rest of this lifetime.
All right. Well, we would say that generally people deal with things like that by doing past life therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you go to that lifetime in your imagination and you sit down with that self who is about ready to, who has been captured, perhaps beginning to be tortured, and whose death is imminent, right? Whose throat is about to be slit, whatever. It's the night before. Go visit. go visit that self and say, you know, I recognize that you're in a terrible situation and that you're at the end of your life. It's coming. And I want you to understand that I am a light being, a light worker. I'm on the spiritual path. I'm the home goer. I am the one who's going home. And therefore, I would like to help you to lift out of this so that I can be free of what you have learned here. The thing is that self learned it's not safe to speak your mind.
Yes.
It's not safe to be visible.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And look at this life here. Look how much you've struggled with that issue.
Still.
How much you hide in the shadows and you feel somehow or another, no, I'm not good enough at it yet. I'm not able to do it yet. Mm-hmm. I don't have the time to do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have conflicts with people. It's going to conflict with my family. It's going to conflict with my friends. It's going to conflict with my life to go there and to step up and be that person. So there's all sorts of inhibitions. And they're torn. Oh, I should serve others. I should do this. I should do that. Which is a kind of a compensation strategy.
Mm.
Right? And you've done your service. Dear one, recognize you've been there, you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
What more do you need to learn about that?
I need to learn how to turn it around.
You need to create more boundaries for yourself.
Mm.
You need to be able to speak your truth. You need to be able to feel and know your truth in the present rather than continuously postponing it and hiding it from yourself.
Mm.
So what happened is that, of course, that other lifetime said, no, no, it's so unsafe, it's so unsafe. And so you were born into this lifetime, tuned into that one, because that other lifetime was a individual who saw a greater reality, who saw a greater light. And it was a spiritual persecution. All right? And so that vibed with you because this was a spiritual life for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you need to tell that self, listen, you know, at the time of your death, we're going to keep you from having any trauma and pain. I and your higher self are going to be present, and we're going to just lift you out of it. We're going to take you home. It's going to be beautiful. Don't worry about a thing. But I also want you to know that this learning, quote unquote, that you made, this learning that it's not safe to speak the truth, to speak the light, in a culture that is antagonistic to this truth, that judges it and will punish and kill anyone who interferes with what they want as the truth to be told. You want to tell that self, look, this I'm not going to honor anymore. I honor your sacrifice. Thank you. You did learn that. You did understand that. And you do have gifts that I now have thanks to you. However, I'm going on. I'm taking us home. I'm becoming free. And so while I honor you, I'm not going to take your learning any longer as the truth for me. Let that one know.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then fast forward that little movie. And here this self now is getting ready to They've got them, and they're ready to slit the throat. They're ready to do whatever. Death is approaching. You and your higher self, their higher self as well, show up, and just before it all goes on, help them, lift them up into the light, into the love, and take them to a beautiful healing temple on the other side. All right?
Okay.
Okay, so that's one of the things that you can do to let that thread go. For you, that thread isn't nearly as scary as how you responded to that thread when you were in this lifetime as a child, as an adolescent, as a young adult. You kind of set into your sense of order that you, your truth, was way low down on the list.
Yes.
So you need to make a choice that your truth is going to be high on the list now. Your truth is number one. It's you taking care of you because there's something you want to do, a gift you want to give to your world. And part of that gift, and the most important part of it, is you being you, you realizing yourself, you honoring the divine within you. You see?
Yes.
All right. So that can take care of the thread of the past. But you need to have a good anchor into the future in this lifetime. So as we said, we're talking about earlier, you can go to your optimal future in this lifetime. Get into connection with that future self. We did that when we did the power of the future.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And go connect with that self who is outspoken, enjoying herself, feeling healthy and happy, and is successful and abundant and just enjoying life. Being who she is. Really feeling and owning her light. Loving. But loving redefined. Loving not meaning service and sacrifice to others. Loving meaning loving everyone and loving their soul, loving their spirit, and seeing the light within everyone and honoring it. You see, you're taking on a role of the elder, the grandmother mm-hmm. role. The grandmother role is not to take care of the kids and raise the kids. It's not to clean the house and fix the food. The role of the grandmother is to impart the wisdom, to share the love, unconditional love. You see?
Yes.
So dream that. Dream that future. Step into that future. Claim that future. And line that up. What we're going to do today is to take a past life that is beautiful. And a future life that is beautiful and line you up. And this will give you a big jump start on this process.
Okay.
It can give you the capacity to dream that greater future in this life. You see?
Yes. Thank you.
And to shift not just you, but your world.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you. All right, anyone else? Any more? You have another question? We have shy people here today, or perhaps lost in thought.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
I'm not even sure what to ask. I think it's amazing, the idea of, you know, picturing the future and then, you know, like that, like you speak about. I've, you know, periodically during my life been told about different past lives. And for the most part, it's because I was, you know, working through a lot of challenges, like you said, and they've not been, I'm not aware of particularly lifetimes where things were just wonderful and lovely. I'm mostly aware of the more intense.
Well, because you didn't go looking for the lovely ones.
Yeah.
You said, what, so, you know, there's this whole cause and effect thing. You know, what's the cause of this effect that I'm experiencing now where I feel like crap, you know, life is struggling and it's hard about this particular issue. it must be another lifetime. But when you're happy and celebrating, how many times do you think, it must be this other lifetime?
Right.
You don't. Cause and effect is generally to solve a problem. Right? And if you don't have a problem, it seemed to be silly or superficial or frivolous to go and just find extra joy and happiness. Look how you were raised.
Mm-hmm.
As enlightened as you are, it still hangs in there. You understand?
Yeah.
It's still in your mind field that you have to go and solve problems and then you'll be happy.
Uh-huh.
No. You know, yeah, there's a certain amount of solving problems. That's okay. But you also have to have an idea of what happy is. You have to have an idea of what joy is. And it's in your memory banks
mm-hmm.
somewhere. You have to tap those memories.
And I realized that I've had a story that I less and less even want to mention. You know, it's like I'm in the process of realizing how much less I speak about a lot of the intense things in my life. Or if I do, it's just kind of like, oh, la, 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 and then I stop.